Live from the Gregory Ricks and Associates Wealth Management Studio, this is News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Live, that is right, live financial talk radio. Get your phone out. Participate in the show. I am your host, Gregory Ricks.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk about risk and your risk number. I'm going to dig more in Gregory's head. He keeps bringing that up lately. What does that mean for you? If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you can call Gregory, 504-260-0995. You can send us a text message via the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. We're going to cover the numbers coming up in the next segment. So if you want to find out if history was made in the markets, and you can play along by going to winningatlife.com and looking up the numbers page, or you can get the Winning at Life app. The numbers page is there. We have some more little newsy items here. But I want to bounce something off Gregory Ricks that sound awfully familiar here. Art Laffer was on Fox Business just this afternoon, and he said something that you said last week, Gregory, that this – no, you said it on the Saturday show because we got the GDP number on Friday. We talked to you on Saturday, and you weren't too worried that the fourth quarter looked like a little slowdown. Here's Art Laffer on Fox Business.
That's wonderful, but the reason we had a big downturn with Reagan is because we phased in the tax cuts.
Right, that's right.
In other words, people deferred the income and output and employment decisions, and so we had a big downturn. Trump avoided that mistake.
Good point.
We didn't phase in the corporate tax cut. Now, the Senate bill wanted to, but we didn't. And the reason you get that little dip in the fourth quarter is because we knew the bill would pass and it would start on January 1st, and that's why you got a little downturn.
That's very interesting, because we had a lot of naysayers.
If you had income you could realize in last quarter of last year or first quarter of this year, which would you do? One's at a 21% tax rate, the other one's at a 35% tax rate.
Now,
duh.
Now, you didn't use the colloquial term, duh.
But you knew that was coming because it was held out. You didn't know where you needed to be business-wise. They weren't going to run out to, okay, well, let's move the factory back from Mexico. Let's go build some equipment. Let's hire 20 people this month. No, they're wait and see. Are we phasing into this through 2019, or is it all hitting next year? Is it retro into 2017? And we knew that wasn't going to happen, to give up tax revenues from that year. But, you know, I just thought it was easy to see. And anything, you know, when they go and revise it, I don't know, maybe gets a little revision up as well.
That'd be interesting. But boy, what a mistake that would have been if they did phase in the tax cut, or if they would have have it start a year down the road, because then we would have had a whole year of that pullback.
Yeah, you just couldn't. And that's why politicians are not businessmen for the most part. They're politicians. There's a reason they're there. Maybe some of them were business people or employees or military people. A lot of them were attorneys.
Scary thought.
So they don't understand the business aspect. And that's why Trump has a hard time with everybody regarding being president, but he understood the business aspect that you cannot phase this in. Business people aren't going to think that way. Yeah, politicians just say, oh, we need to get some more taxes in so we can spend it. But from a standpoint of why he's viewed the way he is, because he is a complete outsider to all parties. The Communist Party is an outsider. Democratic Party.
Right.
Socialists. Oh, and the Republican Party, too, for the most part. He's an outsider. He deals differently with everybody. He's, you know, he's not been a lifelong club member of the politician society. You think about it. But so he's up there earning his stripes every day.
Yeah, and what's the take on this guy? He's the first president that we can think of that hasn't either been elected to office before or been in the military. You know, it's one thing for Eisenhower to make the jump, or for George Washington to make the jump
yeah.
from general to president, but this is the only guy that's done what he's done, right?
He's never lost a campaign, has he?
You know, that's a good way to look at it, too.
He's only had one, and he won it. So he's going to get to see if he can be reelected.
Well, you heard Art Laffer. I mean, he's been this chipper since, you know, we first were made aware of him in the 80s about economics. But what does that mean if the fourth quarter wasn't an actual downturn, but you had a bunch of businessmen just pulling back on the reins a little bit, waiting for the downhill slope that came in January? What does that mean? Well, if fourth quarter's not a downturn, this market's still got room to go up.
This tax cut and these policy changes can sustain this type of growth for a long, long time. In fact, I believe it's going to accelerate the growth. I would guess that the next 2 years we're going to see an average annual growth rate of somewhere in the 4% range.
Right. So he's just seeing that this is that's a temporary pause in the uphill continuing move of the economy.
You know, the market today, a little bit of pullback. At some point, I wouldn't be surprised with a 5% pullback, just a little bit of discounting there, and then it moves forward again. But gosh, when we closed shop on Friday, you looked at it, and we're almost to 27,000. Well, we just broke through 25. You thought, yeah, I was going to say 26,000, but no, we just broke through 25,000, then crushed 26, and then bounced, what, almost week and a half later. Oh, we can smell 27,000. It's still smelling distance at this, even with a little bit of sell-off today.
Hey, no, you got to tap the brake somewhere, because it crossed 25,000 and 26,000 both in this month, and this month isn't even over yet. We've still got a couple more trading days. So we had two landmarks in the same month. That's why, look, it's weird when, didn't someone call in? I think this was Saturday's show, or this could have been last week, saying, do I still get in the market at this point? I got some money on the sidelines. Do I still get in? Is it still going up? And that still sounds kind of weird, because if you'd have called us last year and said that, like, I don't know, but you should have in hindsight. How does that conversation go now?
There's a technician that, market technician, and basically he says the last time the market was this overbought, it increased another 130%.
Okay.
Yeah, so can the market go further? Look, we really have not yet seen the effects of the tax program that we have. And mainly the effect on corporate taxes. How much did they get reduced by?
Let's see, 14 percentage points out of 35. So from 35 to 21. So it went down 2/7. What is that? 34%?
It went down a bunch. So what, we're at 20%?
From, yeah, 35 to 21.
Yeah. So we have not seen that priced in yet. You already see companies, their analysts done the math. Okay, we're giving every employee a $1,000 bonus. You know, we're giving raises. We're moving the plant. You know, they've done the math. They know there's money to work with now. And this is just a couple hundred companies that have given news out that, hey, yeah, we're helping employees, we're doing expansion, we're moving the plant back here, we're moving money from overseas. And even if they do it over a few years, they're still moving it. Wait till this starts showing up in earnings. Then, you know, what drives stock prices? Earnings. I think this is somewhere, you know, the math, 30, the max tax bracket was like 40.
It was 39.6, but the corporate pass-through rate went from 35 to 21.
Yeah, but we're not talking about the pass-through. We're talking about the C-corps, the big companies.
That's 39.6.
Yeah. So that's a bunch of tax drop right there. So, and then the pass-throughs are the small companies make a big part of the business. There's not as impactive, but they're saving money as long as they're not in the service business. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about stocks. So that's big companies that have stocks, and you're talking about what drives the market is that is going to be a big effect. I think you're seeing somewhere about 10% add-on to the market this year.
Well, you know what feels different about this this run-up compared to what it was doing about, you know, 8 years ago in that previous run-up and what we've seen before is we're seeing entire sectors still nosediving. You know, Sears is still going out of business just as fast as they can. Radio Shack's falling flat on
their
face.
Oh, this isn't going to fix bad companies. Not at all. They still have to go about figuring out how to do business in this new era. But companies that know what they're doing, doing a good job, and some of them maybe borderline get a boost as well. But companies that know what they're doing, about having customer service, about growing a business, about making a difference, yeah, they're going to flourish. Sears probably still going to be gone one day.
So you're going to have the companies that survive are going to be piling up market share because of the growth, but they're also going to be taking market share from the companies that are falling by the wayside. And, you know, a lot of times, like I was saying 8 years ago, you see a rising tide lifts all boats where they're all kind of moving up together. But, you know, even when we have the great days on the short sheet, there's a lot of red and some of it's significant. Some of these companies are still going away. I don't know what's going to happen to GE by this time next year. And that's another big guy.
May not be on the Dow anymore. They have a lot of work to do in a short period of time because they're almost becoming irrelevant.
But think about this. If you have the wrong stocks in your portfolio, and we've had this massive run-up of 40% or whatever it's been since the election, there's a lot of portfolios out there that about broke even, maybe got a little smidge of a gain. Some of them are even in the red just because not all stocks are created equal. You pick the wrong one, you can still get burned, even in a rocket market like this.
Yeah, or be in the wrong sectors, like we talked about that variable portfolio that came across my desk last week. And then they're invested in alternatives. And I don't remember the percentage down, but they were double-digit down.
Alternative energies?
Alternative investments.
Oh, that's even worse. Yeah. All right, financial situations, bring it on. 504-260-0995. We'll do the numbers when we get back, find out if there was any history made in the stock market. But I got a guy over here that 5 days a week, he is a Hall of Fame financial advisor, and he is at your disposal right now. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Gregory Ricks here. I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. They have a fun go-kart track, racing school, a 2.7-mile race course. And yeah, there's crazy guys on motorcycles. Hang off a bike, scrape some knees in the turns. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. Adrenaline fun. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
So many times investors are emotional and they just keep holding on with the hope that it's going to come back. And that's just like in 08, riding that market down, then you've got to take 5 years for it to get back healthy.
Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Gregory Ricks & Associates, 504-832-9200 or GregoryRicks.com.
Attention moms and dads, JPAS has a fun-filled summer plan for your budding young performer. Registration for the Jefferson Performing Arts Society Summer Musical Intensives begins February 1st. Once rosters are full, we begin a wait list. We're also proud to announce this year the addition of one-week sessions entitled The Young Actors Studio. Call us at 885-2000 or visit us at jpas.org.
Mortgage Gumbo with your chef, Dwayne Stein.
Eligible property types are pretty simple on a reverse mortgage. It's a single family home. It's also a 2-4 unit home. So if you have a, if you live in a double, or let's say you live in a fourplex and you live in one of those apartments, so to speak, out of the fourplex, that qualifies for a reverse mortgage.
Mortgage Gumbo with Dwayne Stein this Saturday at 1 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
What people really don't understand is there is a war for the money going on out there. You've got Wall Street wanting your money in a pretty bad way. What are they bringing to the table for you? Risk. And then the other is the banking community. They're battling pretty hard for your money as well. You know, they get cheap money anyhow, but they want your cheap money as well to go loan out at higher rates. Then you've got the insurance industry. What primarily are they using? Annuities. And you've got to try to sort through all this on what should I be doing? What's going to work? And if anything, you probably need to find the right balance between the three and for it all to correlate.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you've got a financial situation, you better call Gregory. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
You can also reach me on the Winning at Life app or winningatlife.com.
Baby, you a song, you made me want to roll my windows down and cruise.
Hey, baby.
Yeah, when I first saw that bikini top on her, she's popping right out of the south.
Welcome back. Winning at Life. Live Financial Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. One of the ways you can reach us is the Winning at Life app. Download it and send us a text. Just go to your app store, Winning at Life. That's right. App store, Winning at Life. You can email me, Gregory at GregoryRicks.com as well. Let's see. What do we have up next, James?
Well, I wanted to go to the numbers here because we were talking about the numbers so much, but we didn't make it official, so I want to make it official. And there's a sound effect, so it's official. Today, relatively speaking, a disappointing day on the market, but I feel like a goober saying that when I turn around and I see the Dow Jones is at 26,400. And 39. It was down 177 points today, though. That's 2/3% in the wrong direction. But listen to that number again, 26,439. It was hovering around 18,000 during the election. Just a little frame of reference there. That is a huge number. S&P was down a similar amount. It was down 0.7%. 2,853. The NASDAQ was down 0.5%. The Russell was down 0.6%. And our broadest, the Wilshire 5,000, was down 0.7%. So all red all across our indices, Gregory.
10-year treasuries is where we're at next. That number, let's see here, I've got it pulled up, 2.71%.
All right. And so that goes back to... How far back does that go as far as last time we were at that level? I'm on the short sheet at winningatlife.com. 2014? Is that right? Is my chart right over here?
Well, I'll grab my chart and see how it compares to your chart. I'm going to look back 3 years. Oh, gosh. Let's see. Right here we got... I'm looking at this is the highest point in 3 years. So it goes back more than 3 years looking back. Yeah.
Yeah, I have about, what is that, January or February of 2014? Maybe March?
Yeah, March 9th of 2017, we were at 2.626. So this is a breakthrough right here. Pretty cool. Well, I tell you what, it's breaking through on that 30-year fixed mortgage 4.19% is what we talked about earlier, wasn't it, James?
Yeah, and that's a little scary there. 4.19, historically speaking, is peanuts, but compared to what we've been dealing with, you know, the last half decade or so, or even longer than that, time to start, if you were thinking about refining or something, you might want to jump on that.
I'm sorry. I've got an updated number, 4.24 on the 30-year fixed.
Well,
it was 4.17 a week ago, and over the past 52 weeks, the highest was 4.33. So, yeah, it's good. If we saw a 4.33 at a point where Treasuries was not this high, I'm just telling you the 30 years haven't caught up yet. You're looking at higher number on the 30-year mortgages.
Well,
and I don't think this – I think this is real stuff here where these interest rates are going to hang in this range or move higher.
It's nice to get back to normal, though. These are more –
we're not there yet, right, but we're moving towards it.
Right. Having your 10-year treasuries this low and your 30-year mortgages this low, that's not right. That's not normal. That's – you got the training wheels on the economy, and we don't know what this thing can even really do until we get this – mess out of the way. Now, what does that do for our gold here? Saw a little bit of red in the gold world today.
Well, it's $1,342.80. It was off a little bit, but still holding into a nice higher range that it hasn't been at for quite a while. Silver at a little over $17, around $17.10.
Yeah, it could go to 100 tomorrow, though, Gregory.
Yeah, yeah. Gold could be 20,000 before you know it. They say
any day now.
You see all those commercials, like it's like okay, well that could be Bitcoin as well on that. Well, oh, Bitcoin did go to 20,000, but didn't stay there long, did it?
Yeah, that didn't sound very hypothetical.
See, where are we at next?
Oil.
Here? Earl. It's dropped below 65 now. No, I'm sorry. That's 66. I show the last trade at $65.37 a barrel.
We're in breakthrough territory here because it hasn't been this high since the original crash happened midway through 2014, and we're catching it on the slope down.
Go back at 3 years. Let's take a look here. We saw a peak the other day of 66.14. That's what I'm showing.
Mm-hmm.
Going back 3 years, I think the high point over the past 3 years was 67.29. So really close to peak oil price over the past 3 years. Very interesting.
All right, I'm going to hit pause on the numbers for a second. Let's go to the phones. Jeff Harahan, you're first up on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Jeff?
Hey, good afternoon, guys, or good evening.
Hey,
Calling in. I've run into some extra cash, lucky, about 30 grand, and I'm trying to figure out whether or not I should use this to pay down a mortgage or to invest it, for retirement.
How much emergency cash do you have?
More than I need, really, probably. Got 40,000 we usually keep for emergencies.
Okay.
So, good answer.
So, great answer. What's the balance on that mortgage?
It's about almost 200.
Okay. And do you have any money? You were thinking about putting this 30, 40,000 in stocks, you said?
Yeah, whether to pay down the mortgage or put it into, something for retirement.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. It wasn't stocks. It was retirement. Okay. Have you run the numbers? How many years left on that mortgage?
Probably 13.
Okay. Do you make any extra payments on it?
Yeah, actually, we pay one mortgage extra per year. Well, we just moved back into the country and put a it's worth quite a bit more than what the mortgage is, and I make an extra payment, and then I also just put $5,000 on it the other couple of days ago, just trying to knock it down.
How far away from retirement are you?
I'll be 60 in June, and I'd like to bail out around, you know, 62, 63.
Were you not paying off that mortgage by the time you retire then? I think
correct.
That money outside of the mortgage might be more valuable to you. Because it's easy to put it in, but like if you all of a sudden want it out, you're having to do a loan of some sorts to back it out. The mortgage, being you're that close, that leans me this should go towards retirement. Now, where in retirement, I don't know, and it just depends on what your risk, how your assets are allocated, but I like the idea of it going to work since retirement is not far out than going into the mortgage. Because it's the mortgage obviously is fitting your lifestyle. If you're thinking that, you're paying an extra payment a year, so you are accelerating it. I would wait until I saw how retirement is working for you before putting that money into the mortgage.
Okay. That makes sense.
Awesome. Glad we could help some.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay. Keep us up to date on how it's going.
Thank you, Jeff. If you want to be after Jeff and Harahan, 504-260-0995. See, there you go. It depends on where you are with your risk number. So what does that mean?
Yeah, he still has to figure out where to go, and I don't know his risk number. It could be conservative, and being it's retirement, he didn't say, well, I want to put it in the stocks, but it depends on his allocation. How much, if he's got a 401k, how much is there? IRAs, Roth, after-tax savings. This is going to be part of that after-tax. Where are most people usually low
after-tax
on their after-tax savings? And usually that money is already taxed or he has a step-up basis. Some of it could be tax deferral, but if everything's equal, think about it this way. Okay, I've got my pre-tax money. So when I take income from that bucket, I'm being taxed at ordinary income, like, you know, the 401k, IRAs and such that you've built up. The Roth, you start taking from that, there is no taxes. And then let's say it's the after-tax savings dependent where it is. He's not going to be fully taxed on it because it's already step-up basis or it's capital gains such as that. So what we're getting at, if you have that sort of balance, you're taking income, but you're not paying ordinary taxes on everything. You're getting a discount so you don't necessarily have to take as much income. Or you might want to put off taking the Roth money and use a combination between the pre-tax, like 401k IRA money, and the after-tax dollars, and hit on the Roth later as it gets bigger. Maybe bring it into the mix later. Or he might want to create a really low tax year and use that non-qualified after-tax dollar because he's got a strategy to shift some of the pre-tax money. See, there's so many ways to look at this. I could go on for hours.
Thank you for your call, Jeff. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Something you might should consider. So if you figure that your estate has potential tax liability on your death of, let's just call it $3 million of exposure, you can take out life insurance to fix that.
Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Gregory Ricks and Associates, 504-832-9200 or gregoryricks.com. You know what sounds crazy is that my kids have never made a long-distance phone call. They'll never make a long-distance phone call. Why? Because we have cell phones now. Hey, James Parker here. It used to be a big deal to have a 1-800 number. Now it doesn't matter. And then you remember when the internet was still kind of new? Before every website, they would say www.whatever.com. And now they just say winningatlife.com. Well, we're getting past that now. Now we don't even give out the phone number on half the ads you hear. And you'll still hear a lot of people throw in their .com. But a lot of people are just telling you to download their app, or they're not saying anything at all, knowing you'll go look it up. So that's where you're at. You want to call the show? You want to text the show? Download the Winning at Life app. And if you want to listen live, but you're not sure if we're on right now or what station, you just go to the app. You want to hear a podcast at any time, on demand, it's on the app. If you want to find us on Twitter, Facebook, or learn from our YouTube clips, that's all connected to the app now. the Winning at Life app, your wallet's favorite app. If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Something you might should consider. So if you figure that your estate has potential tax liability on your death of, let's just call it $3 million of exposure, you can take out life insurance to fix that.
Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Gregory Ricks & Associates, 504-832-9200 or gregoryricks.com. How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks & Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to gregoryricks.com, download the Gregory Ricks & Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
The contents on this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take the place of your attorney, accountant, doctor, football coach, plumber, your plumber's plumber, your plumber's gardener, pizza delivery man, or your nosy mother-in-law. This show does not recommend the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor. Investment advisory services offered through Global Financial Private Capital. Now, back to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Always gonna fly away, just because you know you can. Never gonna learn, there's no such place as a Neverland. You don't understand, you never grow.
Hey everyone, this is Winning at Life. Thanks for listening, thanks for joining in. This is live financial talk radio, helping you achieve success with money. Win with money. You know what I want? I want an awesome retirement. You know, I had dinner at a hotel in Orlando, JW Marriott, Italian restaurant. It was primo. It's like, it was an awesome meal, awesome dining experience. I was kind of tired. Stacy was not so much of wanting to go eat. And I said, well, let's just go right here. It was the bomb. You know what? I like things in life that way. I want retirement to be, don't you? An awesome retirement.
Yeah. Well, see, the thing that we come across is everybody can retire. All you got to do is not go to work tomorrow.
Anybody? Yeah, you want an ordinary retirement?
Yeah. Do you want?
I don't want an ordinary.
Or the question we like is, hey, when can I retire?
What makes an awesome retirement? Not running out of money. Living life,
having options,
how you want it, having the retirement that you want, not what somebody else wants, not traveling to see seven Z's on ships with somebody. That might be their awesome thing, but it's what you want. But I would expect you don't go into it long. Yeah, I'm looking forward to struggling in retirement, cutting off my cable.
Being a burden to the kids.
Yeah, that's not an awesome retirement. Awesome retirement is living it how you want to. And that, you know, combines health, that combines financials, no stress, no worries. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, well, when you come to the base of like the name of the show, Winning at Life, like how you define if your life was a success, he's gone. And I have a pretty easy metric that I've used throughout my entire talk radio career. You can tell if your life has been a success whether or not you do better than your parents did. You took however far they drove the football and however many first downs they got, you got it and you kept the ball moving. You got some first downs yourself. So that means for someone like a Donald Trump, if he starts out and his dad, you know, leaves him a couple million bucks, that he's going to turn it into a few billion bucks. Well, that's not a fair comparison to someone who, you know, grew up in poor situation and their parents didn't graduate high school and didn't really make a lot of money. For you, winning at life is getting your education, being gainfully employed, and not being a burden on your kids if your parents were a burden on you. And then the next step is, you know, you had those friends that when you were going to college, they didn't have to work because their grandparents were paying for their college front to back. Now, it's not that it's necessarily fair or unfair, but the remedy to that is you put yourself in a position where you can help out in retirement. So not only are you're not running out of money and you're not a burden on your kids, but you're still giving back at the end of your life. And that's what I'm aiming for, Gregory. I'm in that middle ground. I don't need to be Donald Trump, but I'm not pulling myself out the dregs of society. I want to be the guy that helps his grandkids through college. Notice I didn't say kids. I want to help my grandkids through college.
So kind of now you know what James thinks an awesome retirement is. And that's what we're here to do, to help you with. And by the way, I do have a daytime job, and that's what we help people do at Gregory Ricks and Associates. The office number there, this is the office number, not the show number. The office number is 504-832-9200. If you'd like some help, want to come in, free consultation, relaxed atmosphere, and you'll enjoy it. You're going to learn some stuff from us on that visit. The most we're going to sit with you there is an hour and 15 minutes. And if you say, well, that's too long, we'll do it in a shorter period of time. You just might not pick everything up, but just call the office to come in. If you want to jump to the website, it's gregoryricks.com. And you're probably downloading the Winning at Life app anyhow. So there's a connection there.
You know, we didn't really talk about the short sheet, but we're kind of out of time to talk numbers. You want to do a little bit of this or just move?
Quickly, just take a look at the numbers. I know one of the great numbers, again, is Netflix from that.
I was contributing to that this weekend, Gregory Ricks. Because
you watch some shows?
Yeah, I've watched some shows. But look, Netflix has really stepped up in the last year, and something that concerns me directly. I have four children, and they have original programming for kids shows. And it's actually really cool stuff. And not cool that I would sit down and watch it if my kids weren't there. But the animation is incredible. The storylines are better than you would imagine. And they're picking up these old characters and putting them in new situations. They have like four series of Barbies. You know, like Barbie Goes to Japan or whatever the heck she's doing now. So Netflix covers everything now. Netflix literally has something for everyone. And as soon as the kids went to sleep last night, I'm doing my little nerdy thing watching documentaries.
Yeah, I fell asleep a couple times watching Netflix this weekend as well. There was some new show or something, and I clicked it, and I think about 2 minutes late. Not that it was boring. I'm kind of like, it was like different, and I'm like, what is that about? But Saturday night, and I think 2 minutes later, I was asleep. Then the next morning, I started watching another movie as well and fell back asleep. But that, you know, how it goes sometimes.
The one that got,
whether it's Netflix or not, I'm not saying it was boring,
right?
But Netflix again is up 3.64% today, closed at $284.59. You know, that's that stock I said was a $200 stock back when it was an $80 stock
6 years ago or something.
It is not that far back.
Now, do you think there's a little overreaction to the Apple? They have said they're going to draw back production on their iPhone 10. And, you know, the orders just aren't coming in like they hoped. And so I've seen Apple get killed. And it got a lot of negative press today, but this is an overreaction. And if nothing else, you've been watching Apple sort of creep its way up the NASDAQ and the Dow. Well, hang on a second. All I've been waiting for is a good pullback to jump in on Apple. This might look like that pullback, question mark, Gregory Ricks?
Yeah, I think it may well be creating an opportunity for some of those to get in. But here's the thing. People might not understand completely what Apple's about. And, you know, I've got this saying, everything does not work all the time. And what am I referring to?
The phones?
Business, investing, and yeah, phones also. But everything does not work all the time. And from their business model, what we're saying is, yeah, everything they put out is 100% hit. You know, the iPhone 10 might be a little expensive at a grand. I think the 8's almost half that price. And it really does everything. And it still has that little button. And you don't have to have facial recognition to use your phone. But I believe it does everything else. Now, those that wanted that higher end, the latest tech, okay, they could get it, but that's not what everybody's wanting. And they'll adjust to that, and the iPhone 11 will probably refocus a little bit, and let's not stay so on the upside. But what are the things about – here's a summary of how Apple makes money. iPhone is 66% of total net sales, and they may not be selling as many 10s as they want, but they're selling the heck out of the one before that, the 7 and the 8 still. iPad is 10% of total net sales. The Mac is 11% of total net sales. Services is 9% of total sales. That includes revenue from iTunes Store, Apple App Store, Mac App Store, iBook Store. They got all kind of stores. And the Apple Music. Let's see. Collectively, internet services, Apple Care, Apple Pay, licensing, and other services. And the others on their or income sheet is including Apple TV, Apple Watch, Beats products, iPod, Apple branded, and third party. Now, what people also might not understand is, let me find this other part we were talking about. Do you have a comment, James?
Yeah, Gregory, almost everything you listed there, except for just the actual Macintosh products, that was 11% of their revenue. None of that existed 11 years ago. There was no iPad. There was no iPhone. There was no Beats headphones. There was no Apple Watch. iTunes was just the faint beginnings for the few people that had an iPod, and so it was minuscule compared to what it is now. This is an entirely redesigned and rebuilt company from 11 years ago.
Apple makes most of its money by hardware. 70% of their profits come from iPhone, and the iPhone makes up to 92% of all smartphone profits. Apple is invested in creating premium products. They focus on ease of use and design, and they make more off iPhones than all the other companies that scoop up what's left over.
504-260-0995. If you have any questions, call Gregory. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Never in our 40 years has JPAS produced a grander, more opulent Broadway product than The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Boasting a cast of 65 wonderful singers and dancers and a huge symphony orchestra, audiences will truly be swept away by the magic of this unforgettable musical. Playing February 23rd to March 4th at the beautiful Jefferson Performing Arts Center. For tickets, call 885-2000 or visit us at jpas.org.
How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to GregoryRicks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
There's more to winning at life than making a bunch of money. It's also about finding something you love doing. Gregory Ricks here. For me, I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. If you like going fast on anything with wheels, this is the amusement park. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
What we talk about on long-term care is it is a great option. Not a high percentage of people carry that. One, it is expensive. It also might be an insurance that you don't like later down the road because it is going to be experience rated. So depending on how their claims go, they're going to adjust the rates, just like everybody wrecking automobiles. But look, there are other strategies. We build it into our income planning. We build it as a doubling effect. There is a hybrid where you could use emergency money and it can become long-term care money should that situation arise.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you've got a financial situation, you better call Gregory. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
You can also reach me on the Winning at Life app or winningatlife.com.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
When you take income, how do you avoid taxes on that? Build up a whole bunch of cash value in a life insurance policy and borrow money from it. Loans are not taxable. And what will that help? Reduce your taxes.
Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Gregory Ricks & Associates, 504-832-9200 or gregoryricks.com.
And I don't know why it all take me downtown, like you got anywhere better to be. Talk it up and give me the go round round like a good time tease. I'm only counting on your cancellation when I should.
Welcome back. Winning at Life. Live Financial Talk Radio. Did you watch any of those Grammys last night?
I gotta admit I did. I did. I'm a huge music fan, and I knew it was on. And when the kids kind of settled down and they had their bath, I let them watch TV for like a half hour so they calm down before they go to bed. And I turned it on. And
now, you said music show. I thought that was a political show, is my take.
Well, I have a different complaint now. Yeah. Well, here's the deal. I thought they were singing too many songs. It's like there's really about 12 minutes worth of content in this 3-hour show. They could just trot people out there. All right, here's your best album, so-and-so, 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 and the winner is Thum. And then they play some music. That person comes up. They speak for a minute or two, and then they get down, and then the next person comes up. Like we could crank this out, and we could have it done before the first commercial break if I was in charge. But yeah, they did a whole lot of singing, and then they lectured us about believing women when they accuse someone of being abused, and then we all cheered for Hillary Clinton for some reason, like we didn't remember the first 3 hours of the show. I thought that was really weird. It's like, weren't y'all all just lecturing us about unpunished abusers of women?
I must have missed a lot. I think I heard two songs, and one that I did enjoy of the two that I heard was Little Big Town singing Better Man. I was pulling for them to win a Grammy with that. You know, one of our favorite singers, Taylor Swift wrote that.
Which one? She wrote
Better Man.
Oh, I thought Better Man was the Pearl Jam song. See, I didn't see the whole thing.
Missed it. So
look, I saw
Bruno. I'm just not so into that because then that kind of takes away the enjoyment, the politics. You know, it's kind of why football's. Did you know the Grammys was down 20% over last year's viewership? No. Kind of like the NFL.
Yeah,
turns into politics. I showed up there. I thought this was a football game.
Here's what's kind of cool, though. You know who the biggest star, as far as the music world goes, is on the planet right now, the biggest star in the world?
Chris Stapleton.
No, but that's very funny. It would have to be Bruno Mars.
It's like
Mars.
He shows up, and you're right Bruno on that. Mars I believe that. But Chris Stapleton shows up, and he's one of the nominees. You know who's going to win it? Chris Stapleton.
Yeah.
He's the latest and greatest, I guess.
Because he's not a guy who looks like he just stepped off the package, you know, like an underwear model guy, and he just happens to... They all have the same kind of delivery, and they all have the same beautiful, handsome face. Chris Stapleton looks like...
He's like a Hank Williams Jr. throwback.
Yes.
His best way to describe him, sound, look, whatever. We just try to sing really good songs best we can.
And he's not singing about a girl in tight jeans getting up in my truck and we're going to go next to some body of water and under the stars drink beer. You know, it's just...
He's not about kicking the dust off his boots, is he?
No, he is not. He's not. He's about stretching metaphors and singing with a lot of soul on Chris Stapleton. All right, enough Grammys. It's not a music show anymore. Was there a bow you were going to put on that?
This came off of a song, you know, the Fix a Drink song.
Yeah, I can fix a drink. Yeah.
I can fix a drink.
Same guy that does Buy Me a Boat.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, I can't fix any roads, but I can build me an airport.
You know, if we, thought me and you could probably take and put together some lyrics, create our own little song, copying from him.
If you want to do
it, I can't fix that, but I can build you an airport.
That wouldn't be very funny outside of New Orleans.
No, but we could do that from a national basis too.
Okay,
you know, we got all these problems, but we can go. We can't do that. No, why would we do it? We can go do this. So it's just, you know, when you're on airport runways, traveling around part of the country over the weekend, that kind of came to mind.
Well, something else they have to do is weird infrastructure anomaly of New Orleans. Is, did you see how many beads they pulled out of the sewage drains under the French Quarter?
Yeah, we're going to have to stop that. It's clogging everything up. Got to end Mardi Gras.
Gregory, it was like 95 tons of beads were clogging the systems under the French Quarter.
Yeah, and for 100 years we've been clogging it up.
Well, has it been for 100 years? You mean y'all didn't back?
Did they find some, you know, French Quarter and all is pretty old. They're finding cannonballs and stuff like that.
Yeah, but when you say that, that makes me think.
From those old muskets back in the day.
These aren't new inventions, the vacuum trucks. Y'all didn't vacuum this crap out last year or the year before or the year before. It may have been building up for 100 years and someone finally got the genius idea. Maybe we should clean this. All right. Well, hey, I want to cover some of this audio that you brought to my attention. Scott Meyer.
Yeah, let's go ahead.
Guggenheim Partners. Now, do you know this guy? Have you met him?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just throwing that
out there. I go back with having met him and following him, and he's one of the Guggenheim Partners, and going back before, you know, when you kind of, you know, the Great Recession, when we go back to that, you kind of like, how did you, you know, I've been asked, like, how did you have the insight to know what was coming and happening? I was connected to this guy. I've been following him before then and ever since.
Oh, that makes this a little more interesting. Scott Miner from Guggenheim was on Fox Business and saying all this optimism, this is all fun and stuff, but at some point it's kind of making me nervous.
Clearly the tax cuts are helping the economy a lot. You know, people are re-rating stocks, believing, you know, that earnings will go up dramatically. There's every reason in the world to be optimistic, and that has me nervous.
Why are you nervous about that?
Well, you know, I've been to Davos before a number of times, and I remember being here 2 years ago, and, you know, oil prices were almost $25 a barrel. At that point, credit spreads had exploded, stocks were selling off, and everybody was saying we were going into a recession. And of course, if you'd bought then, it would have been a fantastic return. So I think the euphoria is you know, getting the momentum of the market ahead of where it should be at this point. It's hard to argue that the market shouldn't be higher, but at the same time, you know, markets don't move in straight lines, and you know, it'd be a little, maybe a time to think about changing your tack and lightening up a little bit on risk.
What he's saying in a way is capture some profits and do something else with that. It's kind of, you know, where I talk about my 20-30-30-50 rule is if we've bought something and it's moved up 20% and it starts to wobble, we're selling some of it. If something moves up 30% and wobbles, we're selling half of the position. And you think about it, if you put $9,000 in something hypothetically and now it's worth 20, you could peel your investment off and work with the gains, or vice versa there. And you either diversify that, or depending upon your risk, said, okay, well, I want to do something more conservative here. I'm still keeping some of that to work like I was, but going back, and let's be conservative and prepare for what happens when it doesn't go in a straight line, like he said.
Well, and again, you make that decision, you said, depending on your risk level. It keeps coming back to that, your risk level.
Yeah, you have to reallocate and keep balance in your life, balance in your investments.
All right, Scott Miner of Guggenheim also says because of the tax reform, specifically, this market has a little bit more room to grow.
All you have to do is look at the effect of the tax cut and see how it impacts after after-tax earnings. And we see S&P earnings probably around $1.60. Well, if you go back to the multiple that was on the market when back in early November, when we really didn't think we were going to get tax reform, and you apply that same multiple to $1.60, you're another 15 to 20% up from here.
See, he started off saying optimism makes him nervous, but here's the reason why he's still going to play ball.
Yeah.
All right. No comments on that one. I got it.
No, because I've already kind of said that before we even started doing this.
Now, he's looking, and he was asked about, what do you think about going outside the country, Europe, maybe some emerging markets?
Are you investing in Europe?
Yes, we have money allocated to Europe. We like Europe, but probably even more interesting, Maria, is the emerging markets. Places like Brazil, Chile, these places are really catching a very strong bid. And of course, if things are as good here as we expect them to be, and the dollar's weak, historically that's been the formula for emerging markets to do very, very well.
I've never touched emerging markets. Am I missing out?
Not necessarily. It's more unknown. It'll probably carry a bit more risk on your number. Your number is going to be a little bit higher there, needing to carry emerging markets. But what he's saying is there's some bigger opportunities there than going outside of the U.S. to commonly known markets in Europe and such.
All right, tell them about your day job, Gregory.
Gregory Ricks and Associates. We're investment advisors, money managers, and planners. We'll help you find your risk number to make sure you're properly allocated. And we do actively manage the money. It's not lip service. We actively manage the money. So if you need some help, daytime, the number is 504-832-9200 or go to GregoryRicks.com.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in today. We do this 6 days a week, Monday through Friday from 7 to 8 right here on this station. You can catch our Saturday Spectacular from 10 to 1 also on this station and a few others. If you want to check out podcasts, highlights, contact information from the show or any of our partners, get the Winning at Life app. I'm James Parker. This has been Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Have a good one.
Life with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Productions for the private use of our audience. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without expressed consent is prohibited. Find show contact information and podcasts in the Winning at Life app.
Gregory Ricks is an investment advisory representative through Global Financial Private Capital. 504-832-9200 or GregoryRicks.com.